It's great to have all of you tuned in tonight that are listening out there. And what I want us to look at this evening is one of the greatest questions I believe that's ever been asked in all of life, found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and verse 22 in the New American Standard. Whenever you begin to study throughout the Bible, there are lots of questions in the Bible that are great questions that are asked by people. The Philippian jailer, what must I do to be saved? When you think about Job asking the question, if a man dies, will he live again? And there are many questions throughout the Bible. But the one that I want to speak about tonight that I believe is the greatest question in all of life is found in Matthew's Gospel. We find this very important, pertinent question of all questions. Pilate said to them, speaking of the crowds, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ?" They, speaking of the crowd, all said, "Crucify him." It's a very important question this evening. It's a most pertinent question for each one of us to ask ourselves. What will I do with this man called the Christ? What will I do with Jesus? You see, this question this evening, it's a personal question. It's a question that each individual has to ask for themselves. But it's also a very pressing question that you and I must look at. And it's also a very penetrating question that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl will have to answer for themselves. What will I do? What shall I do with Jesus who is called Christ? This evening, as we look at this personal question, as we look at this pressing question for this evening, I hope that you will think very confidently in your heart to know beyond a shadow of any doubt that you have settled this great question that Pilate asked some 2,000 years ago. Even though it's been 2,000 years ago, it's a most relevant question for even tomorrow. Lisa sang a few moments ago, "I don't know about tomorrow, but I know who holds tomorrow." And that's the one Pilate is asking the question, what will I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Let me tell you, we don't know about tomorrow, but we know Jesus Christ holds tomorrow. And we know that he's holding our hands. There's an old hymn, an old invitation song that was sung many years ago. "Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Wilt thou be saved? Then why not tonight?" And that's one of the things that I want to speak about this evening. The setting for the question that Pilate has asked. Jesus himself had already completed his earthly ministry. He had been arrested. He is standing before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And the people are begging for capital punishment. Now, the Roman governor Pilate would have been allowed at this particular time of the season to release one of the prisoners. And there was Barabbas. He was a criminal. He was a man who certainly needed the punishment rendered upon him for the crimes that he had committed. But Jesus Christ had absolutely done nothing. And Pilate doesn't really want to crucify Jesus, but because of all of the mob psychology of the crowd, he has to make a decision. And so Pilate will release either Jesus or he will release Barabbas. Now the crowd went absolutely crazy that day. Instead of a punishment being rendered upon a man by the name of Barabbas, who deserved the retribution for the crimes of his punishment. And then on the other hand, there was Jesus, the man called the Christ, and he is innocent. And so Pilate is standing before the crowd. And so Pilate asked this very pressing, penetrating question, "Then what shall I do with Jesus who is called the Christ?" And so the people shouted out, "Crucify him." Let me tell you, Jesus was in Pilate's hands that day. But one of these days, Pilate will be in the hands of Jesus when he comes back to this earth again. Pilate represents this evening. He represents a picture of every lost person that has ever lived in this life, which is all of the people that have ever been created. This very pertinent question, this very personal question, this very pressing question, this very penetrating question should cause each one of us to take pause this evening. What will I do? What will I do with this man called Jesus? What will I do with Jesus who is called the Christ? Let me tell you, what you do with Christ is going to determine what God does with you and with me. While Christ is in your hands tonight, we are in God's hands. And as we judge this man called Jesus, we ourselves, God will judge. So Pilate, he represents the picture of lost humanity. His trial, the trial that Pilate gave Jesus, there was a trial of mockery, of injustice. He's confronted with Jesus, and he's trying to determine, what will I do with this man called the Christ? There are three things tonight that I think are very important to you and to me as we look at Matthew's gospel here. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 22, we see, first of all, the voices that confronted Pilate. The voices that confronted Pilate. There were some strong voices in the crowd that spoke to Pilate. And one of those voices was the voice of reason. In Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18, for he knew that because of envy, they had handed him over. Notice that again. For he, Pilate, knew that because of envy, they, the crowd, had handed Jesus over. Now, Pilate wasn't a fool. I mean, in order to be the Roman governor, I mean, you know, he certainly had to have a lot upstairs. And Pilate knew the minds of men. He realized that men are cunning. He knew that men are crafty. And here the Jewish religious leaders and those priests let us know here that they envied Jesus. They envied Jesus because the crowds were focused upon Jesus. The crowds were not only focused upon Jesus, the crowds were following Jesus. They were holding on to his words, and they were watching the things that he taught, the things that he said, and the message that he proclaimed. And these religious leaders, these Jewish leaders, and these priests, they envied Jesus because he was absolutely truth. Truth personified, and they could not stand what they were seeing. And so they've delivered Jesus to the judgment, and the crowd sinned against reason. Jesus was either the Lord that he said he was, or else he was a liar who knew he wasn't God but pretended to be, or else he was a lunatic who thought he was God and wasn't. You see, Jesus was Lord, or Jesus was a liar, or Jesus was a lunatic. He was either deity, he was either a deceiver, or he was the deceived. You see, Jesus was on trial, and every person has to determine who Jesus is to them. Pilate listened to the voice of reason that spoke to him that day. But let me tell you, Pilate also listened to another voice that confronted him that very day. It was the voice of love. The voice of love that spoke to Pilate. In Matthew chapter 27, Matthew records in verse 19, while Pilate was sitting on the judgment seat, Pilate's wife sent Pilate a message saying, have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him. You see, Pilate's wife, God had sent a message in the nighttime, in a dream, to Pilate's wife. And she realized that Jesus was an innocent man. And she sent this message of love to her own husband, Pilate, the Roman governor, the judge. And she wanted Pilate to have nothing to do with these trumped up charges against this man called Jesus. Let me ask you a question this evening. Who was it in your life, or who is it in your life that has spoke the language of the love of Jesus to you? Maybe it was your mom. Maybe as a little child, she took you to Sunday school and she taught you Jesus. We sing, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him below. Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Many moms have taught their children that song. Maybe it was your dad. Maybe your dad took you aside as leader of the house. And maybe it was your dad who took you to church and to Sunday school, took the family, and he taught you about the things of God and the love of God. Maybe it was a particular Sunday school teacher. Maybe you're listening tonight, and as you are searching through your mind and you're thinking about those people that meant so much to you, that had much significance in your life, maybe it was some Sunday school teacher out there, or maybe it was during the days of Vacation Bible School, or maybe it was at Falls Creek Camp. But there was somebody out there, some preacher, some neighbor, some friend, some mom, some dad, some grandmother, some grandfather, some Sunday school teacher, maybe a deacon in your church taught you about the love of Jesus. You see, the voice of love that God sent to Pilate's wife that evening, when she couldn't sleep and she was struggling with this dream and she was pleading for her own husband to absolutely have nothing to do with this rejection of Jesus. The story is told about a young man. He was getting ready to go out of town. He actually was going to live it up. Reminds me sort of the prodigal son who wanted to spend his life and riotous living. But this young man, he was going to a party. He knew that he wanted to party down with all of his friends. And his mother had prayed for him for years. And she reached over and pulled a gospel tract from her Bible. And she laid it next to his coat and his keys. And when her son went to get his coat and his keys, and he saw that gospel tract, it absolutely made him irate. He was so angry at his mother. He said, "Today, when I got off the bus, somebody handed me a gospel tract. Mother, is there absolutely anywhere that I can go that somebody will not hand me a gospel tract?" His mother looked at him with a broken heart, tears streaming down her face, and she said, "Yes, son, there is a place that you can go that nobody will hand you a gospel tract, and it's a place called hell, because there will be no witnesses there for Jesus." Tonight, you have to make a pertinent decision. You have to make a pressing decision. You have to make a penetrating decision. And that decision is neutral. You and I cannot be about this man. When Jesus asked the question, "What will I do then with this man called Christ?" You see, Pilate asked the question. On that day, the crowds had gathered. They were getting all psyched up. And in this maddening crowd of people, Pilate saw the voice of reason. Pilate saw then a voice of love from his wife. But then there was the voice of conscience. There was the inner voice that Pilate heard, and he looked at it and examined this man called Jesus. And as Luke records in Luke 23 verse 4, then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no fault in this man. I find no fault in this man." You see, even Pilate realized that Jesus was sinless. Can you find fault this evening in this man called Jesus? Absolutely not. He is and will always be the sinless Son of God. And Pilate's conscience thundered in his heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He had heard the accusations. He had examined the witnesses. And the voice of conscience spoke to Pilate, "What shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ. And then there's the voice of God that spoke to Pilate. Let me tell you, deity. God speaks in John chapter 18, verses 33 to 36. Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me?" Notice what Pilate answered. Pilate answered, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. What have you done?" And notice Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm." Let me tell you, Pilate that day, as he asked that very penetrating and pressing question, Pilate heard the voice of reason from the people. Pilate heard the voice of love that God sent through his wife. Pilate heard an inner voice. It was the voice of conscience when he said, "I find no fault in him, no guilt in him." And then Pilate heard the voice of God himself, deity. But I want you to know, not only were there voices that confronted Pilate, but I want us to see secondly tonight from Matthew's gospel, the values that conformed Pilate's life and Pilate's decision. Why was it that Pilate delivered Jesus? I mean, Pilate had already said, "I find no fault in this man." God had sent a message of love through Pilate's wife to say, "Have nothing to do with this man Jesus for these charges that are false accusations that have been brought against him." But let me tell you, why did Pilate do it? Why did Pilate bend? Why did Pilate bow? Well, first of all, he bent to public opinion. In Mark's Gospel chapter 15, it tells us why Pilate did it. He wanted to please the people. Now, there are a lot of people that are afraid to witness for Jesus because they're afraid of the crowd. Oftentimes, people are afraid to walk down church aisles for fear of what the crowd will think. And I understand that. I get that. When I look here in our sanctuary, that middle aisle, that center aisle, that's a long aisle. If you're sitting almost to the back of the church. And a lot of people, out of fear, they're afraid to walk down an aisle. They're afraid as people look at them and as they watch them, they feel like that they are spectacles in the eyes of others. Let me tell you, you can't please Jesus, though, and please the crowd at the same time. If you're ashamed of Jesus before the crowd, Jesus will be ashamed of you before the Father in heaven. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth in him shall not be ashamed." Paul would say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." I love that song. "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ." Let me tell you, Pilate was a people pleaser. He was willing to please people rather than to make a decision and be committed and to do the right thing. Adrian Rogers said once, "The chief cult in America is the cult of conformity." Well, there was another value that conformed Pilate's life, not only public opinion, but pride. Pilate's pride. He was a very proud man. In fact, in John 19, Jesus had stopped speaking to Pilate because Pilate didn't want to know the truth. So Jesus doesn't speak to Pilate anymore. And Jesus gave Pilate a very clear witness. But as Pilate wouldn't listen, so Jesus just stops speaking to Pilate and answering his questions. In John chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "So Pilate said to Jesus, 'You do not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and I have authority to crucify you?'" And notice, Jesus could not let that go. Jesus responds to Pilate. Jesus answered, "You," speaking of Pilate, "would have no authority over me unless it had been given you from above. For this reason, he who delivered me to you has the greater sin." Notice that. Pilate's position of power had caused him to be puffed up. He's filled with pride, and the Bible speaks much about how God hates the sin of pride. Let me tell you, that day when Pilate asked, "Do you want Barabbas or do you want Jesus?" And as the maddening crowd began to swell with all of the mob psychology of the day, let me tell you, public opinion and pride took over from Pilate that day. And the devil loves to whisper. The devil loves to defeat. The devil loves to reach over and whisper in the ear of someone who is getting ready to trust Christ as their Savior. The devil loves to whisper in their ear and to try to not get them to feel convicted of their sin and to try to get them not to make a decision for Jesus. But let me tell you, Pilate dealt not only with public opinion that day and pride conformity, but he also dealt with the third thing, his position. His position in John chapter 19 and verse 12, we read, "As a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, 'If you release this man,'" they're speaking of Barabbas here, "'you are no friend of Caesar. If you release this man, everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar. If you release this man, Jesus.'" You see, there's two people there. One is Barabbas the criminal. One is Jesus the innocent. And the Jews cried out, "If you release this man," speaking of Jesus, "you are no friend of Caesar." Why would they say that? They would say that because Jesus had said he is the king. And so Caesar, being the great king over all of the thrones out there, being the one in power, the people hollered out, and the Jews cried out to Pilate, "If you release this man," speaking of Jesus, "you are no friend of Caesar. Everyone who makes himself out to be a king opposes Caesar." And so, in other words, if Pilate didn't bow to the wishes of the mob majority in this matter, they would go to Caesar and they would tell Caesar that Pilate did not bend to their wishes. And so Pilate didn't want to lose his great position of power. Pilate was a materialist. Let me tell you, Pilate listened to the winds of adversity. And whichever way the winds of opinion were blowing, Pilate would join in with the crowd. Pilate that day, instead of making the right decision about Jesus, Pilate chose public opinion. Pilate chose pride. Pilate chose position over all of those things. And it conformed Pilate's decision that day when it came to the condemnation that he pronounced upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we see in the life of Pilate those voices that confronted him and the values such as pride and public opinion and position that conformed him, but thirdly tonight, we see there was a verdict. There was a verdict that condemned Pilate that day. Jesus was in the hands of Pilate. Pilate knew that he had to do something immediately with this man called Jesus. And so what does Pilate do? He simply ignores Jesus and he bows to the demands and the whims of the mob as they cry out, "Crucify him, crucify him." You see, Pilate had too many other things to do, and so Pilate rejects Jesus, ignores Jesus. He washes his hands of Jesus. But Pilate couldn't ignore the fact that he had to make a decision. Instead of making the decision, he tried to put the decision on somebody else. You know, there's a lot of people that think that they'll be able to go to heaven someday because their grandparents were godly people. They were righteous people who lived godly lives. Let me tell you, you cannot go to heaven on your grandmother or your grandfather's faith. You've got to go to heaven by making a choice of your own, making the decision to follow Jesus. Luke records in the 23rd chapter of Luke, verses 6 and 7, that Pilate found out that Jesus was from Galilee. And Herod was the king of Galilee. So Pilate has a great idea. Pilate just will send Jesus down to Herod. You see, he will put the decision off on somebody else, but Herod sent Jesus right back to Pilate. Let me tell you, Pilate wanted to ignore Jesus. Pilate wanted someone else to have to make that very big decision, but Pilate couldn't get it done. And no one can make the decision for you and me this evening to receive Jesus Christ but ourselves. Pilate comes to the place in Luke chapter 23 where he said, I find no fault in him. I don't know about you. I don't know how you would sum up the life of Pilate. Whenever you read the Bible and study the Bible, I have absolutely no respect whatsoever for Pilate. He could have made a decision that day. He could have done the right thing, but he just couldn't get it done when it came to talking about Jesus. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ, he's either Lord of our lives or he's not Lord at all. Pilate, he found no fault in Jesus as he examined him, but Pilate did not surrender his life to Jesus. He remained neutral. Matthew chapter 27, verse 22 through 24, said, Pilate said to them, the crowd, then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all said, crucify him, crucify him. And Pilate said, why? What evil has he done? But they kept shouting all the more, crucify him, crucify him. Let me tell you, when Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves. The interesting thing here about Pilate is there wasn't an ocean. There was not enough water in all of the world, even though 3/4 of the earth's land is covered in water. The bodies of water in this world would not have washed away the stain on Pilate's hand. And even though Pilate was the one that took the cat of nine tails and whipped Jesus with lashes, nor did Pilate nail Jesus' hands and feet to the cross that day. Pilate didn't spit in the face of Jesus. Pilate was not the one that was holding the hammer that day. But let me tell you, Pilate was guilty. Pilate was guilty of indecision. And that is the worst decision that anybody can ever make in life. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. Everyone listening tonight to this live stream broadcast is either with Jesus or against Jesus. Let me tell you, Pilate's gavel fell that day to mob psychology and to a pressing crowd. But I want you to know, his gavel fell that day to a man who was innocent. But one of these days, God's gavel is going to fall, and it will find Pilate guilty. Pilate tried to shift the blame and the decision. But let me tell you, I believe that his decision that day sealed Pilate's doom. If you would have been there, if you had to listen to the witnesses tonight in closing, I want you to just think about if we were in a court of law tonight and we brought in witnesses for the prosecution and witnesses for the defense tonight, and we ask them under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I want you to listen to, I believe, the way it would have been. I believe John the Baptist would have come in and said, as put under oath, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. I believe Peter would have said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I believe John the Beloved would have said, we beheld him, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. I believe Thomas would have said, when he saw Jesus on that next Sunday evening after Resurrection Sunday night, I believe Thomas would have said, "My Lord and my God." I believe the Apostle Paul would have said, "He's the firstborn of every creature, the image of the invisible God." I believe Martha would have said, "I believe thou art the Son of God." I believe the angel would say, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Almighty God, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the universe. I believe Jesus, God Himself, would have witnessed that day. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Let me tell you, when Jesus was baptized and the dove lit on Him. But if we said, "Well, that was only a one-sided deal," what about those that were not defending Jesus, but they were on the prosecution side? Well, let's look at a Pharisee. A Pharisee said, "This man receives sinners." Caiaphas, the high priest, who had condemned Jesus to death. "What do you have against this man called Jesus?" "I'm the Son of God," is what he'd have to say. Pilate, who signed the death warrant, said, "I find no fault in him." The centurion that speared Christ's side would have to say, "He truly was the Son of God." The thief on the cross, who said to the other thief, "This man hath done nothing amiss." Judas Iscariot, from the pits of hell, would have had to say, "I betrayed innocent blood." Let me tell you, even the demons knew who Jesus were. If we called up a demon to give the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, the demon would have to say, "We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of Israel." Let me tell you, even the devils confess that Jesus is Lord. The devils believe, they tremble, the Bible says. Let me tell you, you and I have heard from all these witnesses about what they thought of Jesus. The question to you and to me tonight is this: then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? Winston Churchill said one time, "It's not enough to have lived. We should be determined to live for something." And I believe with all of my heart tonight that that something that we should live for is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. What then will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. The decision is in your hands tonight. If you're here tonight with your heads bowed, your eyes closed, would you, there in the privacy of your home or wherever you may be listening to this live stream broadcast, if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is certainly a time to reflect upon your life and to ask, what is the purpose of living? What will be the purpose of dying someday? Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Let me tell you, Jesus is coming again someday. You will either face Him at the judgment seat of Christ, where we will just give an account of our lives from the moment we accepted Jesus, or you will face Him at the great white throne judgment. There are two judgments that are coming, and you can't escape. You will be at one or the other. If you've never met Jesus, reach out by faith tonight. Ask Him to forgive you of all your sins and to come into your heart and life. Make the decision that Pilate failed to make some 2,000 years ago. Would you just ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and to come into your heart? And then the question is, what will you do with Jesus once you've received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? We're going to pray. If you make a decision to receive Christ, will you call us this week and let us know so we can rejoice in your salvation experience? Would you bow with me as we pray this evening? Father, we thank you for this very poignant question that Pilate asked some 2,000 years ago. God, may it be a pressing question upon the hearts and lives of people all over the world tonight. in all of their state of confusion and all of the turmoil that the world is experiencing and the upheaval of all sorts of things happening in people's lives. Oh God, I pray that they would reflect tonight upon the greatest question that's ever been asked. What must I do with this man called Jesus? What will I do with this man called the Christ? God, I pray, Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh and anew on all of those that have been born again, that we would live more fruitful, more faithful lives in serving you. And Holy Spirit of the living God, fall upon those that are lost. Bring them to a place, oh God, to see that without you, there is absolutely no hope or purpose in life. Father, bring them to a place of conviction through the Holy Spirit's leading them to faith and trust in Christ. And God, we thank you for all of those out there that are making decisions. Father, your word says that your word does not return void. So tonight, as we've delivered the gospel, as we've delivered the message tonight, oh God, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take it and will use it to further your kingdom's glory. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.